audio.
We don't want to hear that.
All right, Kim, you ready? So what, is it 6-4, I believe? Matt leading?
Yes.
Kim Miller.
I guess.
Who was the leader of the Kelvins from the Andromeda Galaxy?
Steve? I don't know.
Steve. I am Kelvin. Steve.
Steve Stardust? I don't
know. Are you insane?
They are insane!
In the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
But Matt Frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
How you doing, Mike?
Here's Spock. Oops!
Star Trek visited a lot of dysfunctional planets. This is very true. I'm Mike McCafferty. I'm very true. And I just want to talk about Star Trek and a couple more things this time. And I think you know where I might be going with this, but let me continue on with my analogy. Star Trek would invariably send our erstwhile crew of Captain Kirk, Mr. Spock, Dr. McCoy, also Captain Picard, Riker, Data, sometimes Sisko, O'Brien, the Sisko, or Janeway, and Dax, that's the other show, or Archer down to a planet. You get what I'm saying. They go down to this planet, and this planet seems very, very normal. Welcome, Captain. Welcome to our society. Very cool. You know, sometimes it's a futuristic world. Sometimes it's 1968 style or Old West, or it's the Roman times, and everything's totally cool and chill except for one little thing. Their society would have something which was so weird that it suddenly stuck out. It was like some sort of horror film where you open up the door and everything seems fine, and then you open the next door and there's a monster right there. And these societies would have something completely crazy. I'm talking about Let That Be Your Last Battlefield. Third season episode of the original series, not so good. Had a guy who was half black, half white. Guy who was half white, half black. And these two peoples fought each other on the planet until the entire planet was destroyed. And yet we, as the audience, could see that's completely crazy. You guys are pretty much the same. A Taste of Armageddon. Check this out. Two warring planets, again, they're warring again, had been through so much war and decimation that they decided to have the computers on both sides simulate attacks. But rather than just have simulated deaths, they would take their own people and put them into disintegration chambers, I'm not kidding about this, to actuate the deaths. And they kept this on for hundreds of years. And everybody thought that was cool and acceptable. No one saw that to be a weird thing. Return of the Archons, kind of a 19th century civilization, but it's controlled by this computer, which demands everything be perfect and the body be purged. And anyone who has any dissenting thoughts gets re-educated. And every year they have a 12-hour purge. See the movie, they stole it from that, where they have the red hour and everyone goes crazy and commits all sorts of crimes and they go back to it. That's not a little weird. It is weird that the Enterprise crew beamed down at that exact moment, but the rest of it is kind of a little off. TNG, Justice, where Wesley falls in that forbidden zone and this giant space alien wants to kill him for falling on flowers. You get what I'm getting at, right? That there's this dystopian societies where we can instantly see that there's something wrong. Where am I going with this? What the hell am I doing? Why am I wasting your time on this podcast? And hey, thanks for listening to this podcast, by the way. Thanks so much. If you could take a second to go on iTunes and review it and give me some stars, that would be great. Stars for Star Trek. Go to iTunes. I just want to talk about Star Trek. I still only have 9 ratings. It helps. We have to beat Trek FM. Trek FM is just taking over the universe. Where am I going with this? I'm going with this. If an alien spaceship had beamed down on Tuesday, November 8th, 2016, and looked at what happened in the United States of America, they would be confused. Now, hold on. I'm not going partisan on this. I'm not going to go, hey, no Trump, hey, no Hillary Clinton. But just one aspect about it. Because as I thought about this thing, and believe me, you guys, we're all on the same page here, right? That this election was very shocking. It was very shocking at the turnout. It was very shocking for people from California. I know a lot of people listen in California, and thank you for listening. Subscribe, rate, buy me undies. I don't know, all that sort of stuff. We're stunned. Many were saddened. Some were thrilled. I don't want to parse through that. I don't. I wanted to initially. I had my own feelings about it. My family had their own feelings about it. My kid was in tears over it. But that's that thing. Star Trek tries to rise above it. And so I wanted to rise above it, but I analyzed what was going on, and I realized that we do live in one of these dysfunctional, dystopian societies for this one thing. If an alien species beamed down here to the United States of America in 2008, around 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, and said, hey, what just happened? We would say, we just elected our new leader. Oh, okay, so you just appointed him? How did that work out? No. We have democracy. Oh, how forward-thinking of you. Good job, Earthlings. Good job, Americans. So, you took the majority of your people who voted, and then they anointed that person they voted for as the president, and we would reply, well, not quite. And this is where it gets in those weird Star Trek worlds where we explain to them we have something called the Electoral College. And if you're not from this country, it's baffling to you. If you're from this country, it's still baffling to you because it's sort of an 18th century construct. I think Alexander Hamilton had a hand in this. A Handleton in this. I haven't done the math. I haven't done the research on this. But here it is in 2016. And we're still subscribing to this. The idea that you need to have a representative go to Washington to place a vote based on what they believed on this candidate. Well, I'm supposed to vote for this candidate, but I can see he's unfit, so I'm going to vote for this other candidate. That made sense back in 1799 or whatnot, back in 1812, when we couldn't get a good look at our candidates. But now in 2016, we saw them for 15 freaking months, and it drove us all crazy. And yet we still have this weird archaic thing which governs us, where one candidate received the popular vote and the other one received the electoral count. Now, again, I don't want to take a side on this. I have my own opinions on this. But I do want to posit to you that right now we are sort of living in a Star Trek dystopian world where the United States of America, for all of our platitudes of being democracy and being free, we're actually a little off on that. And everyone else can see it but us. Now, in those stories, like A Taste of Armageddon and By Any Other Name and all those sorts of things, eventually those people are taught the reason of the viewer. The viewer instantly says, hey, don't go in those disintegration chambers. Maybe you should just sue for peace. Maybe you guys shouldn't fight each other just because one half's black, one half's white. Maybe you guys should just kind of like chill because the rest of your world is destroyed and on fire. Will we figure that out? I don't know. But I thought I should address it because I can't ignore the fact that pretty much everyone I was around for the past 4 or 5 days was really, really sad. For me to suddenly be all happy-go-lucky about Star Trek would be, well, it wouldn't be fitting. Now, this is kind of a timeless podcast, so if you listen to this 5 or 10 years from now or a million years from now, you know how people felt. And this is how I try to equate what Star Trek means at this time period. If you want to get in some political episodes, things like The Drumhead, Patterns of Force, those are great places to start. In the Pale Moonlight, Measure of a Man, all good places to start. And this podcast that we have tonight with my friends Matt and Kim, the audio is a little janky. It's a little bit of a meandering podcast. We got some emotions that are floating around, but it's sort of like a thrift store. You know, you're going to dig through and you're going to find something you're going to dig because we do have a good time in it. And I think that's the most important thing. Let me just say one last thing about this whole experience, and that whether you're up or down about all of this, eventually you're going to find your way back to being okay. And for me, part of that is through Star Trek, because no matter what's happening in the present, I know there's a show on that I adore which paints a future filled with hope, filled with possibility, filled with humanity and logic. And if we can hold on and we can all work together, maybe we can get something close to that. So that's my soapbox. I hope you enjoyed it or tolerated it. And now, without further ado, Matt and Kim, podcasting with me. We started the podcast right now.
Great.
All right.
Great. I'm very excited.
I am joined here by my good friends, my friend, the doctor, Kim Miller.
Hello.
And a special guest star who just figured out how to use Google Hangouts, Matt yes. Stompy Thompson.
Stompy.
What was his name again?
Stompy.
Stomp.
That's Stomp. Right.
What was that song he always used to sing? Oh, and Stromboy. We already did this. Well, I'm glad to have you guys here. We have crossed through the great the galactic barrier of Tuesday, November 8th. And on both sides of Rojan and or of what is that planet where the guy's half black, half white?
Charon.
Charon, yeah, the Charons.
Charon, yes. Well, he's black on one side, I'm white on the other.
Yes.
Or Charon.
On the left side.
Charon, yeah.
Frank Gorshin says it.
Oh, is it Charon?
Charon.
Charon. So on the planet of Charon, it's a dystopian world where they're black on one side and one on the other, or white on one side and black on the other, and this sort of epitomizes where our country is right now, I think. Governed by the strangeness of the Electoral College, which has divided us. One candidate won, the other candidate won. But how can they both win? It's madness.
Yes.
Madness.
It's the fifth time this has happened, actually. This is the fifth time in U.S. history.
This is true.
Seems to work great. Seems to work fantastic.
Well, all I know is that here in California, everyone was very despondent and shocked. I imagine the Heartland people a little more heartened. But this is, as I was saying earlier in my little preamble before I called you guys, that the Electoral College is sort of like one of those Star Trek dystopian worlds. Where it's like, oh, this world is ruled by democracy. So the person who gets the most votes is your president? No, the person who gets the most states wins. Like, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, that's how we do it. You know, it's one of those things where, like, it makes sense to
so
know.
So it's like if you're ruling the galaxy, it's like you have to get all these different planets. But if all the planets, if enough planets want you, then you're in. But as long as the population of those planets, then you don't win.
That's right, yeah. So.
Right? Yeah, I mean.
So you won the Earth, but the other guy won the Moon and Mars. So since he's got two planets, he wins. So, you know, it's – but there's
but
nobody
Mercury
on those planets.
Needs to be represented, so they it's all just, like – it's Oregon, right. So he's your favorite
president.
So it's a little weird, and if you're not from this country, you're still scratching your head. And if you're in this country, you're still sort of scratching your head. But
I don't
want to dwell on that too much. It's Sunday. We've gone past it. We've gone beyond the farthest star, as Uhura sings, as Nichelle Nichols sings, to the stars, as George Takei says.
Moon's a window to heaven.
Oh, yeah. Friend. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that is outstanding.
You got a good voice there.
Yeah.
Good voice there.
All right. So let's
complimenting yourself.
Let us be a salve. Let us solve the problems of this country with light, witty Star Trek banter, shall we?
Yes. Let's do that.
I don't have any
possible
agenda
anymore.
What? Oh, it's
all
Kim.
Over.
Yeah, no, Kim. No, don't.
Wait. Kim. Why is Kim the doomsday? Normally, I'm the doomsday machine here. What's going on here?
The doomsday machine has been activated. We're all gonna climb into the disintegration chambers and just evaporate under this new patterns of force regime. what's that guy's name?
Just
John, whatever.
This chamber right here.
John Grady, who created that in Patterns of Force. Remember
John
the,
Grady? Yes.
The guy in Patterns of Force. What was his name?
Oh shoot,
John Gill. That was his name. John Gill. John, what happened? This is the most efficient way of governing Nazi Party. Is like, oh god,
Nazi Party. Worked well in theory, but now I'm puppet, still talk, Muppet Man. Oh.
Incomplete sentence.
And then I get shot through the glass.
Yeah. Who got that role? Like, you're cast as John Gill. You have your, John Kill. You have your eyes closed the whole time. Good job. Oh, what a great role.
Well, he's actually pretty, not famous, but he's a very somewhat respectable theater actor. So it was kind of a shame that you really didn't get to see him act other than those five lines.
Yeah.
You know, but...
if you haven't seen Patterns
Yeah, go see Patterns of Force. That's really one of the better ones there. I really, really, really like that one.
Oh, I don't like that one at all. I think it's goofy.
Really? Oh, I like it.
Oh, really?
On you, Flavius.
Yeah.
Well, and they kind of paralleled that in Enterprise, too, when they went back and did that, alternate universe Nazi world, almost the dystopian kind of, Man in the High Castle kind of thing with that. It wasn't like season 3 and 4 between Enterprise. I'm not a big Enterprise
fan.
Yeah,
but those were like those were aliens. Like at least I could get behind that a little more. This was John Gill turned one planet into a whole Nazi planet, and then the Zions or planet Zion or Zayden or something Zayden, I think it's which Zion. Was like, a very bad analogy to Zion. They were the other planet who were basically taking the place of the Jews. They basically had a lot of extra costumes sitting around.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's just a bunch of costumes from like some of the World War II movies they did in the last 20 years. Like, what can we do with all this stuff sitting around here, Desi Lou? Like, well, might as well just make an episode out of it. Like, sounds good.
Why didn't you like that episode?
I just felt it was a little, I mean, I have to watch it again, but it just felt really kind of heavy-handed. We visit several worlds.
Yeah, that's what's great about it. It is heavy-handed. I think it's so cool because it is heavy-handed, though.
More heavy-handed than the Evnista episode.
Well, at least that one's like completely off the walls, batshit crazy, right?
Which one is this?
The
Omega Glory?
Tall words saying, we, the Omega Glory. The Omega Glory.
Oh. The Kangs.
The Yangs and the Calms as well. Calms. They must apply to everyone. I mean, nothing at all. Do you understand? The Ecos and the Zeons. The Zeons. It's the Ecosians and the Zeons. So if you haven't seen this episode, give them a synopsis. Now.
Well.
Holy crap.
Move, Zeon dog.
They beam down to the planet, right? Is that?
All right, so we haven't
seen it. They beam down to the planet. What are they looking for? Aren't they looking for or checking up on, wasn't the guy supposed to be there, like checking up on the planet's progress or something? And this is what they find, right?
Right. Yeah. They're checking
out. And they
John
find
Gale,
that these Nazis come in and there's kind of these hippie God worshiping kind of people, which are kind of taking the place of, as you said, sort of the Jews, but these religious folks that are kind of the resistance or the rebellion of what's going on in Germany. So he took this pattern, which was this, fascist type of regime, which in theory, communism and fascism, it sort of tends to, on paper, look really good. So he tried applying that to this planet, and then he found out that just like the old Nazi party, power corrupts absolutely, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and it didn't work. Big surprise.
Yeah.
So they go in and rescue him, and then I really like the episode, actually. I think it's a really touching episode. It's really touching, guys. Really, really touching.
I haven't seen it in a while. I'll have to go back and watch. We're going kind of far afield on this. We're just having kind of a fun time here talking about Nazis. This is a good podcast.
Nazis.
I just want to talk about Star Trek Nazis.
We've had many tapestries.
Next year is going to be Indiana Jones. I've decided that. That's going to be my next.
You should. Indiana Jones.
That's what we're going to do.
And then the next one will.
Well, let's talk about something. Let's just I want to have fun this one. I have mourned. I have mourned and mourned the past couple of days here for the turnabout intruder of our country. So let's just talk about something goofy. We could.
Did you see that thing before you get goofy? Though, did you see the thing about all the Star Trek actors that were not for Donald Trump?
Oh, yeah, a whole bunch of them came out against Trump.
There's a whole litany of almost so many of the actors who are just, like, not for Trump, which I thought was pretty ironic.
It was. It was, yeah, a lot of them came out, and now, they're all going to be deported, I guess. I don't know how that's going to work.
You'll be deported to another planet. Yeah. You're a packlet. We are smart.
We make things go.
So let's keep it light and fun. Though, what's on the docket here?
Light and fun and fluffy. Well, there's not that much Star Trek
news. What's in the shuttle bay for?
Yeah, there's not that much Star Trek news this week. I don't really have anything, you know, percolating.
I do have a question. So your year of Star Trek, what do you think you would like to do to wrap it up? You have a month and a half, including a birthday coming up?
My birthday. I'm 34 years old. I've done that for quite almost more, a decade and a half.
You've been doing
much,
that for about 34 years. Yeah.
I'm 68 years old.
I did. I'm 34 years old when I know these two fools, and now it's not as funny anymore because the deadly years have consumed us. We're all having birthdays which slowly age us, which turn our skin into F. Murray Abraham's skin.
Patch it together. Different species.
Yeah, so just, we are completely dying here, and so it's not fun to make fun of it. It's all over. I don't know. I think...
I'm drunk.
I feel as though I'm feeling somewhat satisfied and somewhat disappointed by Star Trek a little bit. I guess I'm feeling a little bit... And I haven't podcast this month as much as I have, because I think... I'll be honest, when the movie came out and when Paramount and CBS didn't do such a good job of really promoting the 50th anniversary, and then Star Trek Discovery got pushed, it really kind of bummed me out. So I've been kind of floating a little bit, trying to figure out what to do next with Star Trek. All right, I'm going to ask you guys questions from this book, Obsessed with Star Trek, Test Your Knowledge of the Star Trek Universe, over 2,500 questions. And I want you guys to see, I want to see who knows the most.
Oh, crap. I think Matt's going to win this.
I gave you like an 11-minute period there, Matt, to talk about your beliefs between Star Trek and Star Trek Beyond.
Faulty.
Well, there'll be a test. All right, go ahead. Here we go. Keep it light. Ask your questions, Kirk.
All right. This is all lighthearted. Let's have fun.
Great. We'll use a higher voice, higher tone of voice. My cadence is up. Okay. What are the questions?
How long had Bella been chasing Locai? Podcast? Matt, stop talking.
He's a lighthearted one.
Quiet! Jesus. I can't hear anything.
Jesus, it's midnight. I'm tired.
It's okay, 11 o'clock. Ahead. It's not even that. It's midnight.
You favorite mission.
Time.
All right. I'm going to ask 10 multiple choice questions. And you guys are going to answer them. And whoever gets the most right... we'll remain on the podcast. All right, here we go.
I'm just gonna delete it anyway.
These are tough questions. All right, go ahead. Well, I'll give you some. All right, let's see.
Just ask the
question. All from one series or for everything?
Who is the only crewman unaffected by accelerated aging after visiting the colonist on Gamma Hydra 4?
Oh my gosh!
Check off.
Correct. Oh, right. That's correct. All right. Now, Kim, I'll give you the first one.
Jeez, I don't remember the planet name.
What did the Jack the Ripper entity feed on?
Fear.
Ah, the Scotty
Fear
episode.
Fear is correct, yes.
Yep.
One apiece.
Yeah, very good.
So I'm going to give you guys
Red Jack.
You know where it is, don't you? Oh, I know.
There we go. Episode. Here's some fun. All right. Now, so here I'm gonna ask Matt the next question. I have four answers for it. But if you get it without answering it, you get 2 points. If you answer it through the multiple choice, you get 1 point. All right. So you both have 2 points each. All right. So Matt, what is unusual about Tribble procreation?
What is unusual? They're born pregnant.
Correct. There we go. Very good. All right. 2 points for Matt. Kim, who said...
Well, I thought he was getting 4 for that, but I'm fine with 2.
No, you get 2 points for getting
error.
It. So you have 4 points total now, Matt. Kim has 2. All right.
Oh, thanks.
So, Kim, for 2 points, who said, I didn't mean to say the Enterprise should be hauling garbage... I meant to say it should be hauled away as garbage.
Oh, God, that Klingon guy. I don't know his name.
All right, would you like the multiple choices?
I don't know his name. Yes.
All right, A, Koloth, B, Korax, C, Kor, or D, Arn Darvin?
Arn Darvin.
A, Koloth,
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Ah, damn it.
Error.
It is Korax, I believe. Korax. Yeah, well, Koloth was William Campbell in the episode, so you were close. All right, so the score is 4.
That was a tough one, though.
That is a tough one, yeah.
I don't know if they ever say his name in the episode, though.
I don't think they did. So, yeah, that is kind of.
I don't think they do, yeah. That was a tough one.
All right, so here's one for Matt. Who kidnapped Kirk, Uhura, and Chekov from the Enterprise and pitted them against other thralls in gladiatorial contests?
Triskelions.
I need something more specific.
What are Quatlus on the newcomer?
Yes, what are those Quatlus? What are the three brains named?
What's the name of the episode for?
The three brains' names are Mike, Kim, and Matt.
Ah. I've got to steal it for 2 points.
Steal it, Kim. Take it.
All right, steal it.
The gamesters.
Incorrect.
The gamesters. What?
Well, this
what
gives
are their names?
Well, the Quatlus, the Clog, the Galt, or the Providers.
Providers, that's right. Oh, providers.
All right, no points for that.
That's right. That's a great generic name. That's
let them die.
What would they name these aliens? Providers. Oh, that's brilliant. Brilliant. Write that up. Yeah.
All right, so, Kim, what was the card game Kirk taught the Iotians?
Fizbin?
Correct.
Yes.
Hold on. A double Fizbin for you.
Except on a Tuesday.
All right.
All right, Kirk, give me those heaters.
Heaters.
All right, back to Matt.
I got those heaters over there, right?
What episode featured the threat of a giant space amoeba? Amoeba Records.
The Immunity Syndrome.
Correct.
Ooh.
I don't need to look at the answers. I just know they're right.
Didn't have sex.
Forward by Mac McCann.
Yeah.
Ew. We don't want to hear that.
All right, Kim, you ready? So what, is it 6-4, I believe? Matt leading?
Yes.
Kim Miller.
I guess.
Who was the leader of the Kelvins from the Andromeda Galaxy?
Steve? I don't know.
Steve. I am
Kelvin.
Steve.
Steve Stardust. I don't know.
Steve Stardust.
Nancy Crater.
All right, I'll give you your choices. Here are your choices. A, Gary Kalinda. B, Rojan. C, Hanar. D, Tomar.
Rojan.
Correct. Nice.
Woo!
All right, so Matt.
Rojan.
Who designed the computers on board the USS Enterprise? It's 6-6 right now, I believe.
Yes.
Oh, no, it's 6-5, actually.
Right.
Who designed the computers on board the USS Enterprise?
Computers on board the USS Enterprise? Well, who designed them?
Yeah, he knows.
Are you doing an impression of him?
I designed them. I know. M5 will survive.
Give me an answer.
Dr. Daystrom.
Correct.
Whoa.
All right.
I'm great. You are great.
I'm great. You are great.
All right, a couple more here. Let's see. We'll get one here. Let's see.
Wolf on the floor.
Reject.
All right, Kim. What does IDIC stand for?
Oh, infinite diversity, infinite combination?
Correct.
Yes.
All right. Matt, what disease, quote-unquote, does McCoy diagnose Kirk with when they arrive on Miramani's planet?
Oh,
gosh.
I don't know. I know she...
I bear your child.
Dun, da, 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 da. All right, so here's your choices. You're going down dilithium fever, Stockholm syndrome,
Sounds like Pac-Man fever.
Pac-Man fever.
Pac-Man fever.
Stockholm syndrome.
I couldn't hear that. What was the first one?
Dilithium fever. Stockholm syndrome. Tahiti syndrome. Montezuma's revenge.
Oh. Well, he does say, in joking, in the very beginning of the episode, he says it to Spock, though. He says, we call it the Tahiti syndrome.
There we go. Yes, I did say it's quote-unquote disease. So, yeah, it was somewhat ironically. All right, so I'll give you 1 point for that. So I believe it's 7-6? 7-8. Yeah. Oh, 8? 7-what? Who knows what the
We're
hell this is?
Playing 400.
Two more questions.
All right.
Let's see. What did Dr. McCoy nickname the... All right, Kim? Not Hi Rodlin. What did Dr. McCoy nickname the mute empathic woman they encountered in the Minarian star system?
Well, is that for me or Matt?
That's for Kim.
Oh, Jem?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
The third season episode. Yeah, wasn't what's his name's favorite episode? The Force Kelly's like favorite episode.
Really? Wow.
I think he said something like that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's purely his episode. I mean, he actually
saves
it. Right,
that's probably
why
I love
it.
Yeah.
All right.
This is true.
All right, here we go. We're winding down here, this very exciting podcast here where I'm asking them questions to get us off track of politics and rehashing the Star Trek Beyond debate. All right. Matt Thompson. When Charlie Evans controlled his mind, which line of poetry does Spock not recite? I will give you all four of them, and you will tell me. All right? So when Charlie Evans controlled his mind, which line of poetry does Spock not recite? As I pondered weak and weary, tiger, tiger, burning bright, Saturn rings around my head, in truth there is no beauty.
In truth there is no beauty.
That is correct.
Yep.
All right, Kim.
Nice job, Mr. Ears. What does he say?
Nice job, Mr. Ears. All right, Kim. More famous for playing Lurch from the Addams Family, whom did actor Ted Cassidy play in the episode What Are Little Girls Made Of?
I didn't hear your audio for a second.
Oh, great. More famous for playing Lurch from the Addams Family, whom did actor Ted Cassidy play in the episode What Are Little Girls Made Of?
Oh, gosh. These character names, I can't remember.
Protect.
Yeah. Oh, I can't remember his name.
Matt, do you want to steal
Roger.
This one?
Rock is his name.
Rock is correct.
Really?
Yes. Rock protect. Yes.
Jeez. It's as bad as Nancy Crater.
All right. With the score a billion to a billion, it's an absolute tie. Well done.
Congratulations.
You guys won.
It's all over.
The audience lost.
We've all won. We've all won tonight here on this podcast.
Yes. I think we should probably close this one out here. This is just going to be kind of our... Put a pin in this one. We have to carry on. The world spins.
Sun will shine again.
Yeah. So, Mr. Thompson, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. I love Google Share or whatever this is called.
This is called Google Share. This is where we share our feelings via Google.
Stop blowing, you fool! We can hear you!
We can hear everything you do.
Jackass.
And Kim Miller, thank you very much for being part of this podcast, which will never air. 4 minutes of a podcast. But I think we did carry on. I think this is the thing. We laughed. We had a good time. We asked mindless trivia questions. And we do know that life goes on. So thank you, guys. And thank you for tuning in to I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. We will keep on going on. I am great. You are great. This unit must survive. And I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kip Miller.
I'm Dr. Daystrom.
And I just want to talk about...
Star Trek!
Destruct sequence complete.
Don't you understand?
Error, flaw, imperfection.
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Blah, 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 blah.
No, blah, blah, blah.
Alamo Rain, Alamo Rain, Alamo Rain, then two more. Alamo Rain, then three more.
Alamo Rain, if you can see. Alamo Rain, you'll come with me.
Alamo Rain, you'll come with me.
Let's say Seinfeld was on an island, yeah, and he was blowing Boris Karloff. What would that be like?
And it might go something like this.
Oh, Mr. Karloff, I loved you in Frankenstein, and I love giving you a blowjob.
Why, Mr. Seinfeld, I love having you